Welcome to the Overreact podcast.
In a society that puts women in a box,
let's overreact. It's your girl Monica Mohoya,
Angela Wamboi,
and Lash Angela.
So today we're going to be diving into the topic of beauty standards from how Eurocentric views have often defined the essence of beauty. So from Afro hair being defined as unprofessional or statements such as, oh, you're so beautiful for a dark-skinned girl. That being said, in addition to the constant comparison of, you know, lighter shades versus darker shades of women, and not to mention the makeup versus no makeup look. So, you know, natural sisters versus, you know, women that like to cake on a makeup.
Yep. And we all know that we live in a world where, you know, the social media is constantly perpetuating this Eurocentric beauty standards. And, you know, obviously we have the most famous family, Kardashians, who are openly being criticized, and they openly do it using filters and editing images. We've seen how, like, Khloe extended her hand to make it longer.
What?
Yeah, have you not seen that? And then,
girl, I have
angles.
Yeah, angles. Yeah. Jeez. And then Chris posted up a picture, a natural picture of her, Kim, and the last born daughter, or was it Storm? I don't know who it was. And, like, she realized, oh crap, it didn't have a filter, so she removed it. So, you know, making it okay, yeah, that, you know, that this certain look of how to look, and then we have new fashion trends, you know, how we display our beauty. So, you know, we used to be the girls who wanted to wear bras, now we're the girls who don't want to wear bras. And then we used to have slits that, you know, were of a decent point, and then now, you know, maybe you're not wearing anything underneath and we can see everything that you have to show. So how do you think this has affected your viewpoint of what is beautiful to you, and perhaps how you have chosen to display your sense of beauty?
I think I would agree. All of us, we have those male friends, or maybe once in our lifetime that we have had a conversation with a male, and this conversation around natural hair or wigs. Mm. And can you share?
I've had loads of
too many. You know, so typically I don't wear wigs, but I remember my boss calling me out. He was like, oh, excuse me, I don't allow wigs in my office. I was like, this is a weave. And they're like, a weave, a wig, I don't care what it is, it has to come off. You can't wear wigs in my office. And I thought it was a joke, but, you know, come to find out that this particular man just hated wigs, hated fake hair, period. So I even remember going to HR, like, is there a policy that I missed? And they were just like, oh no, you know, like, just doesn't like wigs. So, I mean,
what? I can't believe this.
That's wild, man.
I mean,
that is hilarious. So wait, did you have to go home, or like?
No, so it just became a back and forth thing, and I became really militant and refused to change my hair just to make a point. Not necessarily that I was a girl of wigs or weaves. I was just like, I wanted a different look for my new job.
Yeah.
You know, but eventually I went back to my usual hairstyle or whatever, but I also just went and made a whole presentation to him and was like, sir, do you like this woman's hair? He's like, yeah, it's beautiful. And I was like, yeah, that's a lace front wig. He's like, no. How do you know? And I was like, a woman can spot a wig from a mile away. So I was just like, you can't be a hypocrite, you know? So it was just a moment in time. But
Ego's cool.
Men get very passionate about women's hair. It's so interesting.
Okay, well, I've had that in scenarios with when you're dating someone, you know, you've got guys who likes wigs, you've got guys who don't mind it, and then you've got guys who are completely against it. I have two stories. One, I met this guy, and he was like, I mean, I'm going to say what nationality he's from. He was from Nigeria, and he said he likes his girls to have wigs on, because in where he's come from, so in Nigeria, or like maybe what he's seen, is that when a girl has Afro hair, she tends to reflect that she's from like the country, or like the countryside, and she's probably hasn't got money type of thing. So, or isn't... or maybe he's poor, or poor in mind, what have you. So for him, when you have the wig, it portrays a different kind of stance of beauty, or even where you're from. I'm like, you got, in my head, I'm thinking, you can be a dumb woman and still wear a wig. And so what, you could, like, you're going to judge how someone is and where they're from because of a wig? I just thought that's weird. Well, that's the end of conversation for us. But what I found quite interesting is, when I moved to Kenya, I was like, yes, you know, I'm in a land where everyone's pretty much black and I can rock my Afro hair. So my friend was like, sign up for an agency, you know, for advertising. And I was like, yeah, I'll go. Went there with my Afro hair. I was like feeling good, signed up. And then he was like, okay, cool. So we need to take pictures of you. I'm like, fantastic. When is it? And he's like, yeah, it's going to be on this day. I'm like, cool. And he's like, yeah. So also you need to straighten your hair. I'm like, what? He's like, for you to get gigs, you'll have to have your hair straight. If we take pictures of you having Afro hair, you're not going to get any booked for any jobs. I went home thinking, am I in UK or am I in Kenya? Like, where am I? Like, I couldn't believe.
That's crazy.
And you know, he was right. So I straightened my hair and I booked jobs because the pictures of me with straight hair or wig have been the ones that have booked me jobs. Mm. And I live in Kenya.
That's wild. So our brothers out here who are saying they want the natural hair, how much of texture can you handle? So, because we are bringing the 4C.
Yeah, I'm 4Z, love. Okay.
Well, these brothers out here want the natural hair. They want the, you know, mixed race kind of like curls.
Oh, yeah. You know? I even have a guy friend that actually rates girls. You know, like how you look at things like, oh, you know, is she trustworthy? Is she educated? Mm-hmm. One of his rankings is hair. Mm-hmm. He'll rank a girl on their hair. Is it curly enough? Is it soft enough? You know, so it's like you got to be that middle ground and your hair has to be natural.
I think they don't understand that we all come in different, with different textures, you know, with different curl patterns, with different volumes, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So today we are reacting and telling you, girl, you will, whatever you get, you know, whatever comes out of this bonnet is what you get.
Actually, speaking of hair, do you guys remember when Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, the Nigerian writer, when she was famously interviewed and said that if Michelle Obama had natural hair, Barack Obama would not have won? So we all have natural hair, but, you know, and we're all guilty of rocking wigs. Today I'm not rocking a wig. I just want to say I'm rocking my natural hair. So how do you feel about that statement? Do you think that there's truth to that? Do you think that, you know, as you said earlier, that when you Google natural hair or Afro hair, it comes up as unprofessional, right? So do you think that with this Eurocentric view that we have been made to feel as if that when we rock our Afro hair, we come off as aggressive or not approachable, but when we have straight hair, we're softer, we are more suitable for certain gigs or to be in certain places? Do you agree with her statement?
I totally agree with her statement. I mean, having grown up in the West, I feel like the message has been like, oh yeah, you can be black, but just not too black. You know, I feel like that feeling has always been there. I have stories for days about hair.
You know, like pageantry?
Yes. In pageants, there was a time I competed in a pageant in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were making a reality TV show out of it. And I used to rock my hair in kinky twist. Mm-hmm. And that was just my typical style. And now it just became a point of tension leading up to the day of the pageant. They're like, Angela, you're going to change your hair? This is not pageant hair. So really, they really wanted me to, you know, get the weave and everything. And there was just so much pressure. I'm like, why is my hair such a topic of discussion? It's just
Let's
my hair.
Not even go very far right here at home. Yes. How many Miss Kenyas have you seen rocking Actually. Natural hair? Mm-hmm. How many?
None have won. None have won.
With? Not even like when they're
None
walking.
None have won in with natural hair. They've all won with like.
Well, typically,
there's one Miss
weaves.
Universe. She had like a short hair.
So,
right?
You know, Lupita like did pave the way. So there was a point in time where you were seeing a lot of short haired beauty queens on the rise. Mm-hmm. One being former Miss Universe South Africa.
Yeah, 2019.
So, you know, yes, there are girls out there trying to trailblaze and make a statement and still be themselves and still, you know, be fabulous.
Exactly.
But typically mainstream, yeah, it's been really hard to break that ceiling.
That's true. And not to say, you know, if you want to rock a wig, I rock wigs. If you want to rock braids, I rock braids. If you want to rock hair, yeah, I think bald, whatever. I think you just have to be bold enough to to rock it the way you want and make statements, you know, like make a stand. If you go to a place, like you were saying earlier, where someone's telling you, it's your hair. Like, are you telling him he shouldn't shave his head? Like, he shouldn't shave his beard, you know? Mm-hmm. So we have to get to the point where we just need to not, like, look at people for their hair and just look at people for their character.
If anything, I am not my hair.
Exactly.
I am not my hair. Hey. One of my favorite songs.
I am not. Yeah, and, you know, talking about Michelle and the girls still wear straight hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Relax hair. When did you stop? I stopped relaxing my hair in 2011.
I've always been natural. My hair is natural because I'm the
She's got the nice curls, guys. She's got the nice curls. Some yeah. of us, our hair's
I'm
like
that
still
fair curly pattern kind of a girl, right? And like, how many news anchors can we say on our own national TV?
They're not allowed. It's actually
right
not.
Here in Kenya.
Yeah. In fact, there's only I think. I don't know her name. I wish I could remember, but there's only one news anchor. I saw her post it that she's so excited that she's rocking her natural hair. So curly, like the way mine is today, kinky. It's just not allowed.
I think it's really mind-blowing to know, like, in the continent, like, the topic of hair is even more, like, a contentious issue, more so than even the West sometimes.
I know.
Even when I go to salons sometimes out here in Kenya, I find people like, oh, your hair's natural. Oh, okay. Yeah. As if
it's not cool.
Yeah, like, oh gosh, hair. This is going to be a lot of work. You know.
But
or
thank God, you know, those naturalista sisters who are trying to change the narrative. Mm-hmm. You know, we see you, rock your mane. We love to see it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and as we stay on the topic of beauty, let's react to colorism. Mm. You know, rangia thou versus dark skin. Just the way you say it, you know.
You're so beautiful for a dark skin girl.
Yeah.
Oh,
last
gosh.
I have shared this openly that I suffered a lot of self-esteem issues when I was growing up because I'm fairly dark. I'm a dark skinned girl and I love my melanin. Thank God I live on this continent that I have an opportunity every morning to refill it. Refilling mm-hmm. my melanin every morning.
Yeah.
So kudos to my dark skin girls and sisters out there. So I grew up with low self-esteem because my where I grew up would be called Kavirondo. Kavirondo is like a darkness in Kikuyu. So I was like, oh, that's very offensive. Mm-hmm. And up until like in my 20s when I started embracing my skin color. Let's react, girls. We all have different skin tones right here in the studio.
We are like we're different shades. I think I'm the one in between
the night and day. Yeah. Me and Angela, right?
Actually, Angela, because you're light skin, do you feel like you have received favoritism, especially because you're like in the media industry as well?
Funny enough, I will say I've never really considered myself light skin. I don't consider myself light skin. Growing up in America, from the time I was like five, every time, even when you're taking an exam, you must check mark your race. So race is constantly in your face and you're constantly reminded you're black.
Okay.
So, you know, I've always referred to myself as black. When I moved to Kenya, guys are like, you're not black. And I'm like, then what am I? They're like, you're brown. So like, even the thought of brown being a category, I was just like, no, I'm black. Like to me, black is black. And in America, historically, as long as you have one drop of black blood in your system, you're considered black. It doesn't matter how fair you are.
Even if you're mixed race, that's true.
Yes. So, but there is definitely, I would say, you'll see preference given to fairer skinned people because it seems like they're more accepted to society. So, you know, maybe.
Have you felt that yourself personally, that you might have been chosen not because of you what you bring to the table, but purely because of the color of your skin?
It's called pretty privilege. Have you experienced that based on your color?
I'm going to say accent privilege, if that's a thing. I think out here. I feel like in America, not necessarily. But I always find like people will give me a little more attention or have a better listening ear because it's like, oh, your voice is different. Where are you from? You ain't from around here, you know? Mm. In terms of the skin thing, maybe it is a thing, but I don't recognize it maybe as often. Maybe I'm not recognizing it as often, but I'll have like some of my little girl cousins be like, oh, I wish I was your color.
Oh,
you know, and I'm just like, that just, it kills me because I'm like, you know, you're not viewing yourself a certain way, but someone else is viewing maybe, oh, you're getting more opportunity than me because of the way you look.
And this specific trend has really like made a lot of damage in terms of like the beauty industry is, you know, at the tune of millions. Mm-hmm. And this Asian trend where black girls are actually bleaching. And in Nigeria, it was actually a freaking pandemic.
Yeah. You know, in Thailand, you can't get cream without any lightening
agents,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it's quite common for you to, it's normal. Like even in Japan, for instance, they believe in straightening their hair. They actually relax their hair like the straight and they actually are into fairer skin. So it goes back to that Eurocentric view. We need to remember that the white race kind of set the trend for many years, right? And so it's only now anyone that is not white is now actually speaking out against all this. So we have so many conditioning. You just said you don't see yourself as light skinned because you've come from a society that tells you you're black. So in your mind, you're black, yeah. Period. There's no 50 shades of black, exactly. In you.
You're black.
You're just black. So I think it's the conditioning of our mind. I will say, like, when I decided I'm not going to relax my hair, I generally, I'm not going to lie, I struggled to see myself beautiful because I also had, you know, people within my family saying, oh, like, I remember I was going to a wedding and they're like, so what are you going to do with your hair? I'm like, I'm going to rock it like this. Like, it's my hair. And, you know, like having that thing where you're like being like, everyone's like, what, did you not comb your hair? I remember an auntie, she looks at me and she's like, hey, kwani leo kuchanua nywele, as in like, today you didn't comb your hair. I'm like,
It's styled.
You're like, this is it. And I remember my other auntie defending me. She's like, she's fine. And I went the first time, like when I was getting used to like my Afro hair, I also did like no makeup because I realized I don't see myself as beautiful anymore. And if I don't start recognizing that I'm beautiful, I'm gonna start dating guys because I want them to tell them wanting them to tell me I'm beautiful, and it should be me telling myself. And so I started, like, you know, going through this thing, learning to work on my inside. And I remember going on being asked to go out on a date. I'm like, actually, I'm gonna rock my Afro hair on this date and see how it is. And I just remember this guy saying, "You look so beautiful." And that day, I was like, man, I don't need nobody to tell me that. Because I have straight hair, or if I have no makeup, like, I'm not beautiful. So it's a conditioning even within, you don't even realize sometimes, even those people around you, it's because everyone has been made to think that if you look this way, this is what beauty looks like. It's this box. If you're on the other side, you're not beautiful.
Yeah. And I did a small research and I visited different receptions in different offices.
Okay.
And what stood out, most of the front-facing mm-hmm. Personnel, mm-hmm. Which is reception or executive assistant, they all have some standards. You know, you're either very, very skinny, you're very light, or you just, you know, you have this Eurocentric
aspect
of you know, beauty, because you're enticing. Even go to our, you know, the client or service industry, like hotels, most of the white waitresses we see have, you know, sometimes they have some type of body shape, right? Or they are light, and it's crazy. Just give everyone an opportunity, give every sister out here an opportunity, regardless of the hair, the shape, the color, the complexion.
That's true. Yeah. That is very true. Actually, even just seeing yourself as beautiful, if you're a little bit plumpish or what have you.
Body positivity.
Exactly. Mm-hmm, yeah. How do you feel about the trends of how we dress nowadays? You know, like, we had an off the mic, where we were talking about the bra thing and no bra. For me, it's the high slits. Like, I'm struggling. I'm not gonna lie. the high slits are not working for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, now in this day and age, you'll see more and more people going braless. It's becoming trendier to just be without a bra, like just in the day, not just in your house, like out and about. And for me, I'm a member of the itty bitty titty committee. I'm a B cup. And my friends are always like, man, girl, if I had a bust like yours, I'd never wear a bra. And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't gotten on that train of not wearing a bra. And someone asked me like, well, why? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like, you know, I see young girls these days, they'll just be without a bra and their nipples are out. And I'm just like,
okay. I'm getting comfortable now because for a while, I mean, I've got big boobs, so I'm not going to out myself what size they are. But like, it took me a while to see my saggy boobs as anything other than beautiful. And there's a girl, I think she purposely rocks her saggy boobs on Instagram. And so there's a time I was going out and I was like, you know what? I don't want to wear a bra. I'm going to wear a bra. I don't care if they're saggy. I'm just going to rock them. And so, like get into that. It's that thing of
being conditioned, exactly. And like what has been the standard.
Exactly. And let's react to the fact that the whole Adidas did, you know, that braless breast and different sizes and shape.
Yes, I can't believe they posted that on Instagram. All those boobs. I thought you weren't allowed to show anything like that.
Yo, they did because they were trying to normalize the conversation that we are all different.
Yeah.
But the backlash that came from that campaign was really crazy. Mm. And one thing that emerged from that, you know, trend was that, you know, as we're talking about bras, they're very, very uncomfortable. They don't show you at the end of the day how your back be looking because you are pressed. Mm. You have like stripes and it's so uncomfortable. So I think it goes to say that we need to have these conversations to normalize, you know, your shape, whether they're saggy, whether they're A cup, whether they're B cup mm-hmm. or C cup, mm-hmm. And just love yourself.
Actually, the way you are. While you're still talking, let's end it with how do you define beauty as an individual? Like, what is your definition of what beautiful means to you?
It's in the eyes of the beholder.
It's in the eyes of the beholder. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think being beautiful has a lot to do with your level of self-awareness and just knowing who you are and staying true to yourself. Know thyself.
Okay.
You know?
For me, being beautiful is being comfortable in your own skin. Yes. Because you can have two people who have the same complexion, have the same hair, or have the same size, but then there's one who's really comfortable in their skin and is rocking it, and you tend to like be more attracted to that person. Yes. Because they are comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so you need to own your own beauty and understand what that looks like. I hope you've enjoyed today's conversation. It's been really interesting to share our own experiences and stories. And I guess we challenge you to be careful of your unconscious biases. Are you judging other people because of their hair, the way they look, their skin color, their boob size, how high their slit is?
I'm not jumping on that as well. There's some trends even I see on these platforms like Pinterest, and I'm like, catch me dead. I'm a rock, the version of Cookie Lion forever.
Yes, uh-huh. Baby. Yes, baby. thank you for listening to the Overreact podcast. It is a space where we openly ask the tough questions and have had conversations to trigger change.
And you can tune in next Monday for another exciting Overreact session where we'll be overreacting once again. So set in your calendars and interact with us through our digital platform, Sister Speaks 254 Global. And you can catch our podcast on Sister Speaks Global on Anchor and Spotify and Capital FM. So thank you for tuning in.
You have been listening to your host, Angela Wamboy, and my parting shot is, I am not my hair.
You have been listening to Lash Angela, and my parting shot is, when you see me, you see beauty.
I'm your host, Monica Mohoya, and you know, you work with what you see in front of the mirror.
Let's overreact.